What are my pedagogical goals? What activities do I want the students to do and why? And then I figure out what could be the best tools to do that.
Hello there, my name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. I'm a former New York City public school teacher and started the Easy EdTech Podcast in 2019 to share my favorite tips, tricks, and strategies for technology integration. You'll hear stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events. Each episode is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. If you're listening to this episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or another podcast player, you'll see the show notes link in the description too. This episode is sponsored by my quick reference guide on classroom technology tips. Have you seen this yet? Although I love books, a quick reference guide, or QRG, is a perfect way to get lots of information and have a handy resource to refer to. It's laminated, just 6 panels, and even 3-hole punched in case you're rocking a Trapper Keeper or have a favorite binder full of professional learning ideas. Learn more at classtechtips.com/books or go to Amazon and type in my name, Monica Burns. You'll have to scroll past the romance novels written by someone with the same name, but I promise you'll find the QRGs there too. This week's episode is titled How to Avoid Getting Overwhelmed with Technology with Dr. Florencia Henshaw. And we're jumping into a topic I am sure you can relate to, getting overwhelmed with using technology, especially during this time of year. Dr. Henshaw has a unique perspective working with learners in teacher education programs, and I first came across her work on Edutopia, so I was drawn in by the title of her blog post, and when I reached out to her on Twitter, I was very excited that she said yes to joining me for today's episode. Let's go ahead and dive into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad that you can join in today to talk about a topic that I know is near and dear to my heart and the folks that listen to this podcast and that I work with, which is, you know, getting overwhelmed with technology. But before we talk a little bit about the topic, why it's important to you, and just all the things we can consider, you know, with this big idea, would love to hear a little bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
So, hi, Monica. Thank you for having me here. So, my name is Florencia Henshaw. I am the Director of Advanced Spanish at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. And my day-to-day is probably all about wearing many hats all at the same time. But I would probably summarize it as follows. I supervise 4 courses. So I mentor instructors with various degrees of experience with technology or with language teaching. And I am also an educator. So I teach usually 2 courses. Most of the time I teach the courses for the new teachers or the students who want to be teachers, so the so-called methods courses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I usually also teach at least 1 Spanish course.
Nice. And so, you know, working especially with new teachers or blossoming educators, you know, I'm sure that today's topic comes up in those conversations, just like it does with teachers at all levels, right? So today we're talking about something that, you know, as I mentioned, we've probably all tackled in certain ways, right? Which is getting overwhelmed with technology. I've got a lot of windows open even right now on my device as we're talking with just my questions and the recording, right? So, you know, that idea of being overwhelmed isn't something that is just for someone who is new, right, using tech by any means. But why is this topic important to you?
I think it's because I find myself being So easily distracted by new tools, right? So somebody shares a tool and we keep chasing new tools and chasing new tools and seeing if we know the latest in technology. Mm-hmm. And we feel this pressure of always wanting to innovate. And we tend to associate innovation with new tools, right? Yeah. And I started reflecting on that mainly during the craze of the 2020 switch to online teaching, remote teaching, because I got a lot of requests from educators saying, I need help. What tool should I use? What should I know about? And I felt like we were focusing so much on the tools that we were forgetting about the pedagogy.
Yeah.
And having designed many online courses, I have no shame in saying that I actually don't use many tools at all. I put the pedagogy first. So what do I know about how languages should be taught? What are my pedagogical goals? What activities do I want the students to do and why? And then I figure out what could be the best tools to do that. For me, it's okay if you don't like a tool that somebody is raving about and somebody's telling you how great it is. It's okay for you to say, nope, not for me, thank you. And you keep using what has been working for you. And it's not just you. You need to take into account the students, right? The students also get overwhelmed. Your class is not the only class they're taking, and quite possibly other teachers are asking them to use other tools as well. And so we need to take into account how the students are feeling as well. As much as possible, I like choice, whether it is in tools that I use or in tools that I'm asking my students to use, but particularly student tools. If I can give them choices and perhaps they get to use something that they're already comfortable with, then why not if we can accomplish the same task?
I love just that emphasis on, of course, the pedagogy piece, right? Those tasks before apps is the phrase I use a lot, but then also on really, you know, disassociating, say, innovation with just a new tool or product just because, right? And I think that's something that we can all, you know, reflect on ourselves, just when we're choosing something, what is our why and what choice are we giving students? Because you're so right that just like we can get overwhelmed by all the things they might encounter, you know, one instructor over the day, but different subject areas, or five instructors over the day with different tools that they're pulling in, and just making assumptions that maybe everyone has had the same Google Slides experience, right, as someone else. So I think it's such an important reminder that, you know, there's different layers here to consider on what it feels like to be overwhelmed and when this might pop up even for students over the course of the day. And, you know, your article for Edutopia, you know, you talked a bit about how technology can just as easily hinder as well as help learning. And what are some ways it can help learning, but what are some ways it can hinder or get in the way for a student?
The examples that I'll give are related to language teaching because that's what I teach and that's what I know. But possibly some listeners might relate to the examples that I'll share. So when it comes to helping, I think technology can be really good for language learning because it allows for more individualized, personalized learning. And so, for example, instead of everyone listening to something for listening comprehension, watching a video all at the same time, at the same pace, and only one time for everybody, all 20 students, for language learning, we know that each person processes language differently. And so I think it's great to give students that choice of pausing, rewatching, watching it slower if they need to. And I think technology allows us to do that, which in the past, many years ago, if you just like played a cassette and then everybody listened to it at the same time, you can't quite do that. So I think it's great when we can do the one-on-one and letting students have more control over the content and how fast they want to go. Now, in terms of hindering? Well, there's the obvious, right? In the sense of technology glitches, frustration with technology, right? That can lead to a less than desirable experience. And so now the learning takes a step back and now we're focusing on how frustrated we are with the computer, right? So that's the obvious one. But in the case of language learning in particular, we are struggling with online translators. I don't know if you've ever used Google Translate. And the issue that we have is that they are seemingly great tools for people who don't speak the language and need to communicate in this language. They are, nothing wrong with it. Right. But for language learning, for language acquisition, for developing language skills, not so much, because the students are simply writing the script in English and then having Google telling them what to say. There's no language learning happening with that. So what I say is that it bypasses learning as opposed to supporting learning.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're talking there, you know, about a tool that can come in handy in small moments, right? Like it can also reinforce, you know, I don't want to say bad behaviors, but like reinforce something that, you know, you don't want to practice, you know, a golf swing in the wrong way over and over, because then you only learn how to swing it in the wrong way, right? So like if you are looking at resources and using them in maybe a way that they're not quite intended or they're not going to help, right? Like there's great use cases, but then there's also use cases that can help us just build bad habits. Maybe that's a better way of phrasing it, you know? And so I really like that example with the Google Translate connection of just, you know, why are we using this tool? And maybe it could be a hindrance for someone's growth, right? If they are using that instead of, say, growing their skills in another way or a way that's going to allow them to think more critically or apply it in various scenarios, right? So right. I like and that.
It's similar. The analogy that I give is with all of the technology that we have in our cars, right? You have the GPS, you may have the park assist, mm-hmm. right? You have all of these things. And then you have self-driving cars, right? So to me, the Google Translate is more of a self-driving car. It will not teach you how to drive. It just drives for you.
Yeah.
And the word reference, the dictionaries, right? Everything else that technology can give us, even spell check. To me, those are good tools. They're sort of like the GPS, right? It kind of helps you yeah. get there, but it's not driving for you. And that is the distinction that I try to help my learners understand why I do allow and use and encourage them to use some tools, but why other tools, it's not that I want to say they're forbidden, but it's more of helping them realize that it's just not helping them learn. It's not helping them acquire the skills that we want them to acquire.
I love that example. I think it just paints such a good picture and it's definitely something we can all relate to, right? Both inside and outside of the classroom of, you know, things can help us become more efficient, can help us work smarter, not harder, but at the same time, we're growing, right, with our skill set as opposed to just, you know, having those short-term wins, if you will. So, you know, as we think about all the ways that we use technology inside a classroom setting, right, outside of a classroom setting, we talked a bit already about just the helping and the hindrance piece. But coming back to this idea of avoiding edtech overwhelm, especially starting the school year without getting overwhelmed or starting the school year and then taking a step back and realizing we are a little overwhelmed, you know, what are a couple action items or a couple things listeners should consider doing to avoid edtech overwhelm?
I would probably say, of course, yes, first focus on what you're trying to do. But beyond that, what I called return on time investment.
Yeah.
Every time we learn a new tool, we hear about a new tool, or even when we browse blogs to see what's out there, it's time. It's time that we are investing on learning these new tools. And our students are investing their time trying to figure out how to use the new tool. So what are you getting out of it? Is it worth it? Because you'd be surprised how many things you can do similar or the same with tools right. that you already have and love and they're working great for you. You do not need to always be using a new tool every year. So think about the return on time investment. Sometimes you do hear new tools from wonderful people like you who do the work, you know, to share information about what tools are out there. And that's great. It could be that one tool actually helps you do something even better, right? It helps you solve a problem. It helps you support learning. Then by all means, that is good time investment, right? Because now we're doing something better. Mm-hmm. But many times, just really reflect on the return on time investment. Is it really worth it for you? And it's perfectly okay to say, no, it is not worth it. I think a lot of times, especially on social media, but even in professional development events, we feel this pressure of having to be familiarized with VoiceThread or Nearpod or Pear Deck, or right, because everybody's talking about it, how wonderful these tools are and how much they can do. It's okay if for you they don't work. I have to admit, I don't use Pear Deck or Nearpod. It doesn't work for me. Same with VoiceThread. A lot of my colleagues in higher ed talking about how wonderful it is. I've tried it and I just don't see it. It just doesn't work for my goals. And that's why sometimes you see these lists of best practices and you think that that's what we should all be doing or we should all be emulating. You have to remember that best practices are only best in a certain context for a certain purpose and with a certain audience. So it's always written from one person's point of view of what is a best practice. So read them, reflect on them, but it's perfectly okay to disagree with best practice. It's perfectly okay to disagree with what's the best tool out there. You know your students, you know your context, you know your purpose. Follow that. And yes, still, you know, engage with colleagues because you may learn of a new tool that helps you do things better. But absolutely no shame at all in doing what has been working for you.
I'm so glad you said that because, you know, one of the things that I often struggle with, because I do a lot of presentations that I say like have a number, right? Or a listicle, like 12 of these or 15 of these. And I start these presentations typically, especially if someone's been with me the past few years where I feel like we're at this overwhelm level a little bit higher. I usually start by like taking a deep breath with everyone and just saying, don't do all the things. Like, I'm going to tell you about 12 formative assessment strategies and I pair each one with a tool, but you might already have a tool that does this, right? Or you might now notice that you've always had a voice commenting feature in a favorite tool because we talked about it today. Like, go look there first before adding something new to your tool belt. So I really appreciate just your emphasis there on, you know, embracing the kind of things that you're already using, right? Understanding that there is like, we have only so much time capital to review and try something out. So really making sure that that return on the investment is there. I think that's just such a great reminder for listeners as they're thinking about all the things that might feel a little bit overwhelming. So, you know, I mentioned in the intro about your article for Edutopia, and I will link out to that so people can take a look and read through all of your great recommendations there as well. But where else can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Well, I am sort of everywhere. I would probably say Twitter, definitely. On Facebook, my page is called Unpacking Language Pedagogy. I have a YouTube channel by that same name, Unpacking Language Pedagogy. And I am on LinkedIn and Instagram, but I'm not the best at it. I'll admit that. I'm probably more active on Facebook and Twitter of all the places. But I'm happy to provide the Linktree link so that you can have all my links in one place.
Perfect. So if you're listening to this today and you want to stay connected, make sure to check out the links in the description for today's episode, in the show notes for today's episode. Thank you so much for your time and your insights today and for joining us on the Easy Ed Tech podcast.
Thank you for the invitation. Can I close with my new personal mantra in case it helps anybody else?
Please do.
I kid you not. I tell myself this in my head almost at least once a day. I'm bad at it, but I'm trying to be better at it. And that is, you can't do everything. You can't be everywhere. You can't be all to everyone. And I try to remember that because I think we feel this pressure of, well, I'm working on this, but I haven't worked on that. Or everybody's talking about this topic, but I haven't contributed. That's okay. You don't need to contribute on every topic. You don't need to know about every tool. You don't need to be doing all the PD. It's okay to miss out.
Thank you. No, I'm so glad that you share that. And what a wonderful way to wrap up our episode on avoiding all the technology overwhelm.
All right. Thank you so much. And I look forward to connecting with everybody.
It was wonderful talking to Dr. Henshaw about this topic, and I want to finish up and make this EdTech easy with some key points from today's episode. Focus on the task, examine return on time investment, look at what your favorite tools already do, and figure out if a tool works for your goals. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including all of the ways to connect with Dr. Henshaw, at classtechtips.com/podcast. Just look for episode 179. You can also find the link to the show notes in the description wherever you're listening to this episode. If you don't see a description, just hit see more or expand. Sometimes it's hidden a little bit in a compact view on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This episode is sponsored by my quick reference guide on classroom technology tips. A quick reference guide, or QRG, is a perfect way to get lots of information and have a handy resource to refer to. It's laminated, just 6 panels, and even 3-hole punched. Learn more at classtechtips.com/books, or go to Amazon, type in my name, Monica Burns, then scroll past the romance novels written by someone with the same name. I'm sure she's lovely, it's just someone else, and you'll find them there too. Thank you for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. This way, next week's episode will be waiting for you first thing on Tuesday morning. And if you want to share an idea from the episode with a friend or colleague, text, tweet, or post the link on your favorite social media platform. And of course, you can tag me at Class Tech Tips with any questions.